July 17th. As we look into the Old Testament reading today, we'll be reading from the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 24, verse 1. We'll go through chapter 26, verse 11, and we'll see that a beautiful and costly temple is a waste of money unless ministry is going on for the good of God's people and the glory of God. So, before he died, David organized the temple workers and put them under proper leadership. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40 says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." The work of the Lord called for dedicated service from many kinds of people: priests, Levites, musicians, treasurers, gatekeepers, soldiers, and state officers. Each of us has a calling from the Lord, and we must be faithful to take our place and do our job. We are helping to build the church, and we must give God our best. Being a musician himself, David was no doubt especially concerned that the music in the temple be the finest available. God gave him people who were skillful and trained, but their task was not to magnify their talents. They were to glorify their Lord. Do you open and close each day with praise to the Lord? And now let's begin our reading today in the Old Testament. July 17th, 1 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 1 through chapter 26, verse 11. This is how Aaron's descendants, the priests, were divided into groups for service. The sons of Aaron were Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. But Nadab and Abihu died before their father did, and they had no sons. So only Eleazar and Ithamar were left to carry on as priests. With the help of Zadok, who was a descendant of Eleazar, and of Ahimelech, who was a descendant of Ithamar, David divided Aaron's descendants into groups according to their various duties. Eleazar's descendants were divided into 16 groups, and Ithamar's into 8, for there were more family leaders among the descendants of Eleazar. All tasks were assigned to the various groups by means of sacred lots, so that no preference would be shown. For there were many qualified officials serving God in the sanctuary from among the descendants of both Eleazar and Ithamar. Shemaiah, son of Nathaniel, a Levite, acted as secretary and wrote down the names and assignments in the presence of the king, Zadok the priest, Ahimelech son of Abiathar, and the family leaders of the priests and Levites. The descendants of Eleazar and Ithamar took turns casting lots. The first lot fell to Jehoiarib. The second lot fell to Jediah. The third lot fell to Harim. The fourth lot fell to Seorim. The fifth lot fell to Malchijah. The sixth lot fell to Mijamin. The seventh lot fell to Hekaz. The eighth lot fell to Abijah. The ninth lot fell to Jeshua. The tenth lot fell to Shechaniah. The 11th lot fell to Eliashib. The 12th lot fell to Jachim. The 13th lot fell to Huppah. The 14th lot fell to Jashibiab. The 15th lot fell to Bilgah. The 16th lot fell to Immer. The 17th lot fell to Hezer. The 18th lot fell to Hapazez. The 19th lot fell to Pethahiah. The 20th lot fell to Jehezkel. The 21st lot fell to Jachin. The 22nd lot fell to Gamul. The 23rd lot fell to Deliah. The 24th lot fell to Mahaziah. Each group carried out its duties in the house of the Lord according to the procedures established by their ancestor Aaron in obedience to the commands of the Lord, the God of Israel. These were the other family leaders descended from Levi. From the descendants of Amram, the leader was Shebuel. From the descendants of Shebuel, the leader was Jediah. From the descendants of Rehabiah, the leader was Ishiah. From the descendants of Izhar, the leader was Shelomith. From the descendants of Shelomith, the leader was Jahath. From the descendants of Hebron, Jeriah was the leader. Amariah was second in command. Jahaziel was third, and Jechamiah was fourth. From the descendants of Uzziel, the leader was Micah. From the descendants of Micah, the leader was Shamir, along with Izhiah, the brother of Micah. From the descendants of Izhiah, the leader was Zechariah. From the descendants of Merari, the leaders were Mahlai and Mushai. From the descendants of Jahaziah, the leader was Bino. From the descendants of Merari, through Jahaziah, the leaders were Bino, Shoham, Zakur, and Ibri. From the descendants of Mahlai, the leader was Eleazar, though he had no sons. From the descendants of Kish, the leader was Jeremiel. From the descendants of Mushai, the leaders were Mahlai, Eder, and Jerimoth. These were the descendants of Levi in their various families. Like the descendants of Aaron, they were assigned to their duties by means of sacred lots, without regard to age or rank. It was done in the presence of King David, Zadok, Ahimelech, and the family leaders of the priests and Levites. David and the army commanders then appointed men from the families of Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun to proclaim God's messages to the accompaniment of harps, lyres, and cymbals. Here is a list of their names and their work. From the sons of Asaph, there were Zakur, Joseph, Nethaniah, and Azarelah. They worked under the direction of their father Asaph, who proclaimed God's messages by the king's orders. Jeduthun had six sons, Gedaliah, Zerai, Jeshiah, Shimei, Hashabiah, and Mattathiah. They worked under the direction of their father Jeduthun, who proclaimed God's messages to the accompaniment of the harp, offering thanks and praise to the Lord. Heman's sons were Bukiah, Mattaniah, Uziel, Shubael, Jerimoth, Hananiah, Hanani, Eliatha, Gedaltai, Romamtaizer, Joshbekashah, Malothai, Hothir, and Mahaziath. All these were the sons of Heman, the king's seer, for God had honored him with 14 sons and 3 daughters. All these men were under the direction of their fathers as they made music at the house of the Lord. Their responsibilities included the playing of cymbals, lyres, and harps at the house of God. Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman reported directly to the king. They and their families were all trained in making music before the Lord, and each of them, 288 in all, was an accomplished musician. The musicians were appointed to their particular term of service by means of sacred lots, without regard to whether they were young or old, teacher or student. The first lot fell to Joseph of the Asaph clan and 12 of his sons and relatives. The second lot fell to Gedaliah and 12 of his sons and relatives. The third lot fell to Zachar and 12 of his sons and relatives. The fourth lot fell to Zerai and 12 of his sons and relatives. The fifth lot fell to Nethaniah and 12 of his sons and relatives. The sixth lot fell to Bukiah and 12 of his sons and relatives. The seventh lot fell to Azarelah and 12 of his sons and relatives. The eighth lot fell to Jeshiah and 12 of his sons and relatives. The ninth lot fell to Mattaniah and 12 of his sons and relatives. The tenth lot fell to Shimei and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 11th lot fell to Uziel and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 12th lot fell to Hashabiah and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 13th lot fell to Shubael and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 14th lot fell to Mattathiah and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 5th lot fell to Jerimoth and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 16th lot fell to Hananiah and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 17th lot fell to Joshbekashah and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 18th lot fell to Hanani and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 19th lot fell to Malothai and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 20th lot fell to Eliatha and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 21st lot fell to Hothir and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 22nd lot fell to Gedaltai and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 23rd lot fell to Mahizioth and 12 of his sons and relatives. The 24th lot fell to Romamtiezer and 12 of his sons and relatives. These are the divisions of the gatekeepers. From the Korathites, there was Meshelemiah, son of Kore, of the family of Asaph. The sons of Meshelemiah were Zechariah the oldest, Jediael the second, Zebediah the third, Jethaniel the fourth, Elam the fifth, Jehohanan the sixth, and Eliehonai the seventh. The sons of Obed-Edom, also gatekeepers, were Shemaiah the oldest, Jehozabad the second, Joah the third, Sekar the fourth, Nathaniel the fifth, Amiel the sixth, Issachar the seventh, and Pulethi the eighth. God had richly blessed Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom's son, Shemaiah, had sons with great ability, who earned positions of great authority in the clan. Their names were Othni, Raphael, Obed, and Elzabad. Their relatives, Elihu and Semachiah, were also very capable men. All of these descendants of Obed-Edom, including their sons and grandsons, 62 of them in all, were very capable men, well qualified for their work. Meshelemiah's 18 sons and relatives were also very capable men. Hosa, the Merari clan, appointed Shimri as the leader among his sons, though he was not the oldest. His other sons included Hilkiah the second, Tebaliah the third, and Zechariah the fourth. Hosa's sons and relatives, who served as gatekeepers, numbered 13 in all. July 17th. As we look into the New Testament today, we'll be reading from the book of Romans, chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. We'll see how Abraham was saved. Not by works, but by faith. Salvation is not like wages that you earn or works that you can boast about. Abraham was not saved by keeping the law, because the law had not been given. Nor was he saved by obeying a religious ritual. It was all by God's grace. We'll see how David was saved. You know, David wrote Psalm 32 after his great sin with Bathsheba. Can God forgive a man who commits adultery, deceit, and murder? The answer, of course, is yes. When David repented and turned to God, he was forgiven. Even though the Lord allowed David to feel the bitter consequences of his sins, God justifies the ungodly, not the righteous. And you will see how you can be saved, simply by believing God's promise as Abraham did. Faith and promise go together just as law and works go together. Abraham is the father of the Jewish nation physically, but he is the father of all believers spiritually. At Calvary, our sins were put on Christ's account. When you trust Christ, God puts Christ's righteousness on your account. That's why we call the gospel good news. Now, what can be more blessed than to know that your sins are forgiven? Hallelujah! And with that, let's begin today's reading in the New Testament. July 17th, Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. Abraham was, humanly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation. What were his experiences concerning this question of being saved by faith? Was it because of his good deeds that God accepted him? If so, he would have had something to boast about. But from God's point of view, Abraham had no basis at all for pride. For the scriptures tell us, Abraham believed God, so God declared him to be righteous. When people work, their wages are not a gift. Workers earn what they receive. But people are declared righteous because of their faith, not because of their work. King David spoke of this, describing the happiness of an undeserving sinner who is declared to be righteous. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose sin is no longer counted against them by the Lord. Now then, is this blessing only for the Jews, or is it for the Gentiles too? Well, what about Abraham? We've been saying he was declared righteous by God because of his faith. But how did his faith help him? Was he declared righteous only after he had been circumcised, or was it before he was circumcised? The answer is that God accepted him first, and then he was circumcised later. The circumcision ceremony was a sign that Abraham already had faith, and that God had already accepted him and declared him to be righteous, even before he was circumcised. So Abraham is the spiritual father of those who have faith but have not been circumcised. They are made right with God by faith. And Abraham is also the spiritual father of those who have been circumcised, but only if they have the same kind of faith Abraham had before he was circumcised. Today we're reading Psalm 13, verses 1 through 6. Four times David asked, "How long?" He had prayed, but God had hidden himself and not answered. David had examined his heart and knew of no reason why God should abandon him. The longer God waited, the more the enemy would succeed. When you have this same feeling, do what David did and talk to God with an honest and humble heart. Would God be glorified by David's defeat? Would God's cause be helped by David's death? Should the enemy rejoice while God's people suffer? David reasoned with God but did not try to tell God what to do. You know, sometimes prayer means wrestling. And there was some affirming that went on here. Faith does not always give answers, but it does give encouragement. No matter how successful the enemy appears to be, you can trust the Lord. You can rejoice in the Lord, and you can sing to the Lord and know that He will always deal bountifully with you. Psalm 13, verses 1 through 6, for the choir director, a Psalm of David. O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Turn and answer me, O Lord my God. Restore the light to my eyes, or I will die. Don't let my enemies gloat, saying, "We have defeated him." Don't let them rejoice at my downfall. But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he has been so good to me. Proverbs 19, verses 15 and 16. A lazy person sleeps soundly and goes hungry. Keep the commandments and keep your life. Despising them leads to death.